Let's take some more calls, okay? We're heading into the weekend. We're heading into Chiefs Niners. Let's go. Redwood Dave, Redwood City, what in the heck is up with you?
Listen to me, and listen to me damn good. The 49ers will win because they came through with the win against the Seahawks last win, and that was a must win, like I said last week. And the second reason they're going to win is because Bosa and Floyd will have an excellent pass rush that I'm calling the bow flow. And they will beat the weaker left tackles, either Morris or Sumante. As long as they contain Mahomes and don't let him escape the pocket, they will get multiple sacks and we will win the game.
Dave, I do like bow flow. Yeah, thanks, Dave. Lock I do. I like bow flow. Bow flow's fun. That's cool.
Yeah.
It'd be great if somebody else on that defensive line could get into a flow.
Yeah, it would be nice.
I'm in.
Nick Bosa was amazing against Seattle, and you can talk about a very weak Seattle offensive line versus a Kansas City O-line that is much, much better, although I do think that their vulnerability would lie somewhere outside of the left tackle. We'll see if they move Nick Bosa around again, but that's going to be a key matchup is whether or not they can apply pressure with four like they usually do. The Niners don't blitz that often. Kansas City does blitz. And if you want to talk about vulnerabilities, the Niners against these blitz-happy teams, Minnesota and Kansas City, these are teams that they have struggled against. Struggling. Struggling.
That's a leap.
It's a fact.
It's a leap.
Well, Minnesota, the last two times you've played them, a team that blitzes a lot, you've lost both times. You haven't been able to even get 20 points in either game. That, to me, indicates a struggle.
But that's one team. That's Kansas City, a team that man-pressed you
for the majority of the Super Bowl.
I don't know that they struggled that much. You know, sometimes that's game flow. Like for me, it's way too black and white when we do that. You didn't get to 20 points. You suck. No.
Well, we've talked about Purdy gets 30. Well, he didn't.
But not against all of the very good teams. Like, I don't know.
Cleveland, good defense last year. I'm glad. You didn't get to 20.
Yeah, well, make the kick next time. Kicker.
And then you would have gotten 220.
And you would have won.
Right.
Yeah, like, I don't care. Not every game. That's really arrogant for fans to be like, you have to score 30 or you suck. Don't call him a genius. Like, stop. These are good teams. Nobody should get to 30 in this game. When you get to 30, I'd argue, most of the time, that means the other team has completely lost control of what they're doing. Like, that is disrespectful to go over 30. The Niners should never give up 30 in a football game. And if they do, their defense is out of pocket. These two teams are both really good. If you want my favorite bet of the weekend, go under. Take the under. That's the bet of the weekend.
You can lock that up?
If I had to bet one, that's the one I would bet.
What's the number?
I think it's 47. Is that right? Is it 47? Something like that.
You're betting the under, you don't know the number?
I think
that's bold.
No, I think it's 47.
That's some bold gambling right there. No, I don't know,
like 47 and a half, whatever. Like,
yeah,
I mean, 40,
I don't have the number.
47. I don't know if
I'm too
moved.
Focused on my own pick, you know, which
yeah, we got to do that here in a sec.
You let me know, because
we'll do it.
Oh, no, I'm ready for a bounce
Niners
back.
Minus 1.5, over under 47 and a half.
47 and a half. Under.
That feels like, you always talk about when under. There's a spread that feels like out of whack, lean into it.
No, you're right. That's what scares me about
it. That number seems way too high. Like, so, like, the lean into it would be to bet the over.
Both, for you to get to the over, both teams have to at least get to 24. Or, I mean, obviously, someone needs to get to, like,
42
34.
42 to 8.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That goes over.
Yes, you know what I
mean.
It's
allowed to.
They've got to average 24
if
each.
If it's
which
47
feels
and a half that, and a 1.5-point spread, you're saying 24-23 or 25-23 would be the number.
Last year in the Super Bowl, the number went to only 47, and there were 9 points scored in overtime.
And it still went under.
And these have fewer good offensive players this time around.
Yep.
No Christian, no Rashee Rice, no Isaiah Pacheco, on and on and on.
And one team's got a kicker, question mark?
Right.
It'll be their fourth different field goal attempter
correct.
On the year, that if he's allowed
if
to
he,
attempt
if
it.
If he attempts one.
If Anders is allowed to attempt a kick.
I'm with you where I'll say that I think the under's a great bet.
Me too.
Except for one eyebrow up. What the hell is the number doing at 47 and a half?
Agreed.
So, agreed. Maybe, so like, if I'm wrong on that one, like...
Well, we already cuckooshed, so you're locked in. On the under.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. Well, I don't have a whole segment built around my futility, so it's okay.
Not only do I have a segment, I've got Hall of Fame basketball players debasing me openly on my own show. Whatever. I'm down on all of them. Kuminga.
Dub Nation is Brandon Pajemski.
No, don't.
You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah.
That's red on red crime.
That was formulaic, too.
Dude, that was, I listened to the show,
yeah,
I follow your picks, and let me just tell you,
they stink.
And that's a fellow redhead right there.
Well, he has hair, so...
I do too.
He doesn't know
that. Don't make me show you.
He doesn't know that.
You better be careful!
So...
Those are words.
Yeah.
Not dumpable.
That's cool.
Now, if I go to the show and tell portion of this segment, now we've got an FCC violation.
Let's go to Damon and Hayward.
Line four, do not answer. Those are always my favorite. We take a call, we screen a call, and instead of saying, you know what, call back later, we just let them sit on hold as a do not answer. I've never understood that.
Yeah.
Well, let's but go don't to say that
now. Somebody know. Anyway, let's go to
run
Damon
that
and
guy.
Damon and Hayward.
Dude, run him.
Sorry, whoever you are. Let's go
Come
to Damon.
On.
Hi, Damon. What are you doing?
Hello, gentlemen.
Yeah,
long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
Two points, and I'm gonna hang up. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Last year's Super Bowl, did we not stop Kansas City three times in the third quarter and didn't do anything with the ball? Which leads to my next point is, I love Kyle, and I think he has everything, but does he need to learn to have the killer instinct? I'm going to hang up and let y'all talk.
Okay.
Yes,
thanks,
is the
thanks,
answer.
Damon,
thank you. The answer is yes.
He doesn't have a killer instinct? What?
Well,
like, define that.
He has a tendency to be in front in the fourth quarter and not win the game.
But I would argue if you're saying he doesn't have a killer instinct, what you're actually saying is you're up 10 and you lack the either desire or know-how to go make it 17. Because that's the killer instinct. Like,
right.
We've got you and we're going to end you.
And you let him off the hook.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when I hear that, this is what I hear when someone goes, we stopped the Chiefs three straight times, and then we didn't do anything with any of them. Well, so you stopped them three times, and they stopped you three times. What a thought. We're in the Super Bowl. Both teams are good.
Yeah.
There's a really, really good defenses. So that's not an excuse. Sometimes this word genius has gotten so out of control with the fan base that there is an expectation, whether admitted or not, that the Niners are supposed to score every time they touch the ball. And it's not football.
I get that.
The Chiefs' defense is really good. I could argue they're the best in football this year. In fact, I think I could easily argue that.
That's a stretch. The best in football?
This year? Tell me who's better. Look at the numbers.
Well, the numbers.
Look
numbers
at the
are
data.
Numbers unless the numbers are
no,
your numbers
look
and
at the
numbers
rankings.
Are numbers.
Look right. at the rankings.
I think Baltimore's defense is better.
Oh, God. Have you been watching Baltimore play? They let the Bengals score 1,000 points. The Raiders came back on them and scored like 25 points in the fourth. Like, Baltimore's defense has not been great. You think Baltimore's better?
Apparently not. Apparently not.
Oh,
the Chiefs
I'm,
are the best.
I'm
the Chiefs
so
are the best
sorry
defense
for disagreeing with you, Dibs.
The Chiefs are the best.
No, go ahead.
If you want to go numbers,
I'll go to the bathroom. Go ahead.
Numbers would say the Chargers are the best defense in football. They've given up the fewest points. So the numbers for the Chargers, I would say the Vikings are probably a better candidate for the best defense in football. The Chiefs, very good defense. Yards per play, against the rush, yes. Against the pass, not as much, sure. Baltimore, probably a bad answer. I'd like to retract my Baltimore answer, because you're probably right. I'm looking at Baltimore's numbers, and they're not nearly as good. And I had forgotten the Cincinnati game, where they went up and down the field, a Cincinnati team that hasn't scored on anybody. So, yeah, not Baltimore. Maybe it's Kansas City. I didn't think so, but the numbers are there. They've given up the third fewest points in football. So there you go. It's Kansas City. Best defense in football. Cuckoosh.
I agree with everything you just said.
Baltimore is 24th in points allowed. So
yeah, not that good.
No.
Not that good. I mean, very good. I love Baltimore. I think Baltimore could end up in the Super Bowl. Their defense is not traditionally what they are this year.
Yeah, Minnesota has given up the second fewest.
Minnesota's very good.
They've played fewer games. Pittsburgh's given up only 86 and 6.
Pittsburgh is very good.
There you go. The Niners are middle of the pack.
There's a couple teams that are not what we thought they'd be. Browns, Jets, Niners.
Right.
Right? Go to your fantasy draft. Who got picked first?
Probably the Jets and the Niners. Yeah. And, man, I don't even know. I actually drafted Kansas City. And
you did? That's brilliant.
Well, they're on my bench. I think I dropped them. Fantasy-wise.
Talk for a little while. I got to go pick someone up.
And defense for fantasy, I actually picked up New England, and they've been a great fantasy defense because they generate turnovers. Even though they give up points, ultimately for a fantasy defense, it's about turnover generation more than it is about points allowed because nobody gets the shutout bonus anymore.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Kansas City is available in our league.
Pick them up. Pick him up against your guy, Brock Purdy.
No, I won't play him this week. Absolutely not.
And honestly, just a quick fantasy aside, everyone talks about doing away with the kicker. It'd be better off to do away with the defense because the difference between defenses in a fantasy week is mostly negligible. Like the best defense versus the worst defense, the gap between the two is not very big.
Well, if you haven't realized that fantasy is a big feather that you just throw up into the wind,
there's bankable things in fantasy.
Yeah, but I mean, mostly, like, there's a lot of luck.
Well, my point about defenses is the majority of them fall within a very narrow gap between a good defense and a mediocre defense. They're all about the same fantasy-wise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. I can't pick him up yet. The people I want to drop played last night.
There you go.
That's a tough break.
Yeah, and I've got...
No, they're good. They're good. Like, I'm not... do you expect the Niners to score 30 points this weekend?
No.
Neither do I.
No.
And is that a failure if they don't?
It is if they don't win the game.
Hmm.
And I look at the last Super Bowl, and I'm just looking at the play-by-play, and they go into the locker room up 10-3, and they come out, they force a 3-and-out. Niners, 3-and-out. Kansas City, 3-and-out. Niners, 3-and-out. Kansas City scores a field goal to make it 10-6. Niners, 3-and-out again. So you talk about, you know, how this game and Kyle Shanahan, does he tighten up? Is he a closer? You had three cracks at it to start the second half, and you did not get a first down.
Yeah.
And Kansas City's defense is great. Best in football, some would say. But you have an offense with Hall of Famers. Right. You should be able to at least get a first down.
That's fair. My point is that we do this as fans. When we expect our team to be able to stop the other team and that the other team can never stop us. That's sort of like the expectation. And it's just like they're good. They're very good. Like they're 5-0. They've won a bunch of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
This is an incredible challenge. It's an incredible challenge. And it does not mean that I'm setting it up for like it's okay to lose. No. The 49ers should be right on track, right next to them. And the fact that you're at home and need it more, you should win. You should win the football game. But it is very challenging. And I'm not going to like freak out about, well, Kyle Shanahan's a supposed genius if they like have to punt or something on Sunday. The Chiefs are a problem. They're very, very good.
Yeah. Well, so, if you're a team that can get 30 on most teams, which is what Brock Purdy has done, then you should be able to at least go out there and get more than 20 against a very good defense.
You'd hope. Well, yeah.
And I hope that he doesn't try to outsmart himself, because as I look at those drives in the Super Bowl from last year, and I know this team is different and everything is different, but they went pass, pass, scramble, punt, pass, 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 punt, and then they went run, pass, pass, punt. Those were your first three possessions for a team that I think should make their way on the ground. And he came out and he threw the ball 8 of 9 times, including, well, 7 of 9. One of them would have been a pass, but it turned into a scramble. Instead of, look, we run the ball. We got Trent Williams on the left side. We have the best blocking tight end in football. We have a unbelievable running back in Christian McCaffrey. We run the ball. But they didn't, and they allowed Kansas City to score a field goal and get back in the game.
Let's go to Ryan in Oceanside. Hi, Ryan. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, love the show, and I'm glad you guys are talking about Kyle, because to me, I feel like the most important thing for this weekend is gaining confidence when it comes to their coaching. You know, I don't really put a ton on Sorensen because he's so new to the position, but I feel like Kyle, for his own psyche, needs to just know that he can beat Spagnuolo. Because, I mean, it's like, We make this so much about Kyle versus Andy Reid. It's not Kyle versus Andy Reid. It's Kyle versus Spagnuolo. And to date, Spagnuolo has won that match like every single time. You know, he adjusts more than Kyle does. Maybe that's Kyle making mistakes and just kind of gifting Spagnuolo with easy things to call. Or it's Spagnuolo just being ahead of the adjustments that need to be made in the game. But I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on how important this is to Kyle this weekend. Cause I know for the players, obviously they're not going to say it, but I know they want to know that they can beat this team. But I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on the psyche of Kyle for this game.
It's a good topic, Ryan. Thanks. I mean, I don't know how to quantify it other than to say that I think it's a huge game for Kyle Shanahan. It's a huge game for all of them. He is the centerpiece of so many of the conversations. He's certainly the central figure when things don't go well. Absolutely. And he's the head coach, so it should be that way. I get that. But I'll refer to the conversation we had earlier today with Sean Salisbury, which was great. If you want to go Odyssey app, YouTube, check it out. Sean was fantastic. And again, if you get totally outplayed, that's one thing. But if the 49ers, who are so good at having a lead, if they get another one and lose the football game, you got to start asking yourself some pretty tough questions. You got to start asking yourself, why does this keep happening? And so I think it's a huge game for Kyle, but it's an even bigger topic to say he cannot lead this game by 10 points and lose it. I think he's going to have a really tough week, potentially a really tough month, potentially a really tough season. If that were to play out, another double-digit lead that goes away.
Depends on how the year ends. All is forgiven if you wind up in February with a win. But already this year, if you look at 3-3, two of the three losses were fourth-quarter leads, double-digit leads that were squandered. And that now makes 20 leads in his career as a fourth-quarter coach. Now, he doesn't blow those leads because he's not on the field, but he's coached a team 20 times that led the game in the fourth quarter, and 20 times they lost the game. And I think it was Josh Dubow from AP who had the stat earlier in the week about one-score games, and his record in one-score games is bottom five all-time among coaches who have coached, 40 of those one-score games? And so these are things, and we already know the stat about, you know, Kyle Shanahan trailing by 7 or more points in the fourth quarter. He has one career win, and that came last year in the postseason. So there are a lot of things right now statistically that are stacked against Kyle Shanahan. And one of the big ones is exactly what you were saying, Mark. Fourth quarter leads, big leads. And, you know, Kansas City has gotten him twice in the Super Bowl in that fashion. So that's why when you ask me about, you know, Kyle Shanahan and the demerits, the one thing that you can look at is him as a closer. Having a lead late in games, close games, and being able to close, or being down in the fourth quarter and being able to rally and win.
888-957-9570 is the number. Nick in Oakland. Hi, Nick. What's up?
What's going on, boys? How you guys doing today?
You know what? Couldn't be better.
Same. Look, no matter what happens with this game on Sunday, you know, I don't think the Niners do win. But if they do, I think the only benefit of winning that game is being able to say that you ended the Chiefs' perfect season so far. You know, the Niners, the Chiefs have the Niners' number. They've beat them on the biggest stage twice, you know. And so I think, you know, say they do make it to the Super Bowl again, the Niners could have a 40, 50-point lead And if the Chiefs start scoring, you know, two touchdowns in a row, the Niners are going to think, here we go again. I think the person's head that they live in the most is Kyle Shanahan's. He's the head coach. He's the captain of the ship. You know, it doesn't, you have these different players that come in and out, but he's the head coach and they live in his head. And I think the only way they get around that is winning a Super Bowl, specifically against the Chiefs. Nick, what do you guys think?
Yeah.
Love the show.
Thanks so much. I don't feel that way right now. And that's just me because I can't. In fact, I've tried really hard to push against this whole idea of like talking about the Super Bowl in October. I don't disagree with it. My head's just not there yet. My head's on this weekend and all the things that this one means. And it doesn't mean anything with regard to the Super Bowl. That's one of the reasons I'm actually really fascinated about it. I think this means a lot, A, for the standings, but even more so, I think this means a lot emotionally. This is a very emotional weekend for the 49ers. Ricky Pearsall is back. You've got a home game. You're coming off of a mini bye, and you're playing the team that beat you in the Super Bowl just a handful of months ago. So I think, and I don't know if you've watched this, Dibs. Did you watch a lot of the practice video today?
No.
Dudes were juiced. There was a lot of energy at that practice today. And when I watched it, I was like, that's great, but it also hammered a point home to me. This means more to the 49ers than it does to the Chiefs. I don't think there's any question about that. So you can't answer the question that Nick is talking about right now. But I think you can answer a completely different question, which is you can sort of just remove this idea that the Chiefs, quote, have your number. And then we'll see if they play each other again. Truth is, they probably won't.
Yeah, odds are that they won't. I mean, the odds of both teams making it all the way back there is probably 1 in 15 or greater. I mean,
yeah.
You'd have to look at the odds of each team to make it to the Super Bowl, and Kansas City's probably got about a 1 in 15 chance. The Niners probably about 1 in 20. So the odds of both teams fulfilling those odds of even getting there are slim. Not slim to none, but highly unlikely. And the whole idea about them having your number, I don't know if that really applies because this team is totally different than the Chiefs last year, and you're different than you were last year. There are very few people who are really impactful players that are here from last year, and Kansas City is doing a lot different things than they did last year.
As you were talking about that, I just pulled this up to see. Did you know that another team has caught the 49ers in the Super Bowl odds?
From the NFC?
No. They remain the NFC favorite.
From the
favorite.
AFC.
Yes,
look at that.
Another AFC team is now even with the Niners in the second position as far as Super Bowl favorites behind the obvious favorite, which is the Kansas City Chiefs. The aforementioned Baltimore Ravens.
Wow.
And the Niners are both plus 700, and the Lions are getting close. The Lions are at plus 950 after their blowout win in Dallas. Guess who's on the line, Dibs?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you do.
This time of night, it's got to be our guy, Kurt.
This guy's a little runt.
Did I get it right?
Let's go to Kurt.
Okay.
Let's go to Kurt in Hayward Hills. Hi, Kurt. What are you doing? You better be amazing.
You know what I'm doing. I can't see it. I can't believe that somebody's calling in and saying, oh, I don't think they're going to win. Get out of here with that. Are you kidding me? The 49ers Sunday are going to smash and punish her, that little runt. Smash and punish him. And that's what we're going to do this weekend. Kyle has never beat them, and this is the time he does. We're going to smash and punish that team, okay? Don't let anybody call in and say anything different. It's the 49ers beating up the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's get that little guy and get him the hell out of here. You know what I'm saying, fellas?
I know exactly what you're saying,
we
Kurt.
Know what you're saying.
I don't think you're mincing your words. Kurt, do you have a score prediction? I'm sensing from your tone 57-3. Is that about right?
I got a 21-17.
Oh.
That doesn't sound like them smashing that little rump to me.
At the under.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, you know, but unless we score 30 points, but Purdy can do that, you know. This is a superstar quarterback. Don't get me wrong. He's a superstar. I don't know why anybody's saying different. This guy's a young stud, and he's a superstar. And Shanahan has to wake up because he's never beat them. And, you know, if he loses this game, And everybody's going to be talking nothing good about the 49ers if it comes down to a loss. But we have to punish them. That's the big thing. Punish them.
Punish them.
And it's going to be, yeah, punish them. A muscle is going to be a muscle battle in the trenches. For sure.
Kurt, will you promise us something?
What do you got, brother?
We're going to need you to call on Monday.
I'm going to call on Monday because it's a win.
Okay.
It's going to be a smash and kick that little runt. I can't stand that little runt.
What happens if that little runt gets the W, Kurt? Will you come in here and have a big slice of humble pie?
No. If he gets a W, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He'll never make the Super Bowl. He's not going to make the Super Bowl. He's not going to beat us. There's no way to even think of that he's going to beat us. This is a huge game for Shanahan. He's never beat them. Never. And this is the time that he has to. He has to wake up, and I still think it's going to be like a close game, but it'd be nice if they won by 14 points. But don't believe me, the 49ers are up for this game.
Kurt, where'd you grow up, Kurt? Where'd you grow up?
What is it? Can't you tell, my friend? Where do you think I was born?
New Jersey. I got you from New Jersey.
Yeah, I'm thinking somewhere east of here.
I was born in Harlem, New York, uptown Manhattan, brother.
How did you become a Niner fan, Kurt?
I'll tell you why.
I've been a Niner fan since 1980, since I came out here in 81.
What brought you out here?
81. I'll go back in the old days with Roger Craig and Joe Montana and all the old great days, man, of the 49ers. We have better great days ahead of us. Believe me, we're going to go to the Super Bowl this year for sure. We might have lost a couple of games because of a couple of bad plays and this and that. And I don't want to talk about last year's Super Bowl game. We already know what happened in the fourth quarter. You know, we already know what happened in overtime. They kicked the field goal. And they should have went down on the fourth down. And
there it is. There it is. I've been waiting for that moment. I mean, Kurt, thank you for calling. And, man, they almost caught it.
YouTube, you're welcome.
This is the fourth call he's called. And it was just a matter of time before he used a different four-letter word other than runt. I've been using runt. But you know what word I really wants to use when I'm talking about that little runt? It starts with S. And it rhymes with hit.
Schmidt.
And I'm not talking about baseball, okay? When I say runt, you know what I mean. This is Kurt. From the Haywood Hills, signing off.
I do believe that Kurt has changed our show.
He has.
Because Mark Grandy is now going to have access. I don't know if you've got it cut yet, Grandy. But
there's like eight different things to
I know,
cut.
No, you got to get. You got to get out of here.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you got to. You got to like work
get
it.
Get out of here. Thank with you. That. Are you kidding me?
Hey, God, you kidding me? Get out of here!
Those can live as one piece or two individual pieces. Those are both good.
My.
And yeah. All of the... he's a little runt.
Well, and then he did his Tiger Woods there at the end by not answering the question.
Hey, it's Kurt.
What brought you out here? And then last year, went to Niners, and they didn't run the ball, and then Shanahan needs to win. And I'm like, that wasn't the question, Kurt. What are you hiding? I want to know what Kurt is hiding. What brought him out here?
It was manifest destiny. The sunshine, man. The good living, the good life, the Niners in 81, Roger Craig and Joe Montana.
No, it was
Bill Walsh and S.
It was something illegal is what happened. That's what brought him out here.
It was witness protection, okay? There
exactly.
I said it.
Exactly.
My name's not really Kurt.
Kurt in Hayward Hills.
Good.
And that's what he sounds like. That is not Kurt in Hayward Hills.
Let's go to Vinny Boom
Butts. That is Vinny Boom Butts if I've ever heard one before.
I don't know if you ever watched The Sopranos, but I get complete Polly Walnuts vibes from Kurt
God.
From the Hayward Hills.
Get out of here!
So good. I was a part of the family before I came out and became a Niner fan.
Dude, if Brock throws a pick, I'm going to scream that at the top of my lungs during the game as the Chiefs are running the ball back the other way. Get out of here with that!
The remote's got to be thrown.
Oh, for sure.
In concert with that.
For sure.
Get out of here with that.
The remote's got no chance this weekend. Poor remote.
Yeah.
Poor pets.
It's a beautiful spot, though, because there's only three afternoon games. So as much as you are a two-screen guy.
Is that right?
I believe we have a three. You have another London game, cheerio.
Yep.
And
Panthers, Commanders, Raiders, Rams.
Heavy morning slate, and then slates. And then the afternoon, you have just the three. And honestly, those other two games, I don't even know if they're worthy of a red zone second
screen.
They're
not. Jaden Daniels is exciting, but they're going to steamroll Carolina for sure.
And the other one is Rams. And
Rams, Raiders. Rams, Raiders.
Battle for LA.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, exactly. There's something to be said for the two logos going against each other, but this year it's not very exciting at all. So, yeah, this is a clear the decks
type
of a situation. Johnny X? In what we used to call Matty-O. San Mateo, what's going on, Johnny? What are you doing?
Hey, fellas, how you doing this afternoon?
This is a legend calling now. This is one of the all-time great sports talk listeners in Bay Area history.
No doubt.
X, how you been, kid?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. I just want to let Willard know that I left a message with Tony Bruno. Just to let him know the bet on the Chiefs. The final score is going to be 27-13. Chiefs. And you're going to still be the Winer fans, Georgia Peaches, man.
You called,
Andy Reid's got you.
Johnny, you called Tony and he didn't pick up? You had to leave him a message?
Well, you know, he's going through that Florida thing, man.
yeah, multiple hurricanes, and you can call me Slurricane.
Yeah. But I got my money on the Chiefs, man. Ever since Eddie D left the 49ers, I no longer consider them the Niners, but the Miners. So,
it's been a minute too, Johnny. That's been a long time now.
13, baby. I used to be a Niners fan from 1970, but I don't like Dr. John York or his C. Jed York. So. Screw the Niners.
Okay.
Johnny, you're giving me feels from back in the old station in 2006. You're making me want to say, where'd you grow up, punk?
I grew up in San Francisco, California. Visitation Valley, baby. I'm a Steelers fan. I got my terrible towel right now. Sunday night football. Steelers versus Jets. Bet on the Steelers, baby.
I love it, Johnny X. Be well, brother. Thank you for calling in.
I love you guys.
Johnny X, for those of you not old enough to remember, this man now.
Oh, I remember Johnny
X. Of course you do. In the early days, Grandy, in the nascent days of Sports Talk Radio, he was a frequent caller on the Gary Radnich program.
Of course.
Johnny X.
I don't understand how anybody can utter the phrase, though, I used to be a fan of, and then fill in the blank. Like, if they relocated, okay? If they, you know, like they were caught doing something illegal, nefarious to their fans. I get it. I know where your head was about to go.
It's not us. It's you.
Well, that's hard for me. You know, like, I used to be a fan of.
The Oakland A's.
And that, well, again, relocation would be a set-aside.
Yep.
The Niners didn't relocate. How do you become a Steeler fan after being a Niner fan? Just because you didn't like John York?
Dr. John York.
Yep.
Yep. And that could be enough, honestly. Eh. And as a fan, you get to decide.
Who the hell likes any of the owners?
How
many owners in professional sports right now are you like, love that guy?
Joe Lacob would be
Lacob,
one.
Joe Lacob, okay.
Even though...
Mark Cuban had some of that when he was the owner, right?
Right. Like, if you want to talk about owners who I've loved... And again, loved, like sports love. I love Joe Lacob. I sports love him because he took my favorite team and turned them from laughingstock into global icon juggernaut dynasty.
Sure.
I love you, Joe.
Okay.
For that, thank you.
And people loved Eddie D. Although
same thing. He took a laughingstock and turned it into a juggernaut.
Sure. But if you're worried about the nefarious dealings of how this all went down... It was like
it's Louisiana.
Yeah, Eddie D was knee deep in that.
Ankle deep. Who knows?
Yeah, who cares? Like, I don't care. But how many owners are you like? Man, the fans love it. Dallas doesn't love Jerry Jones.
No, No.
You know, I'm trying to even think of, hell, I mean, you'd open up the internet today and check out all the stories you'd like on the Giants ownership. That's been a fun day.
Well,
like,
I haven't seen that. I gotta Google it.
Yeah, you know, if you want to get into politics, you can. But
politics. Yeah,
yeah. It always is with him.
Well, yeah, and whatever. Again, for me, the thing about an owner that I love is that you win championships for my team, yes, and you throw a kick-ass party / parade. And so, for Joe Lacob, about whom I was very critical early, at the first parade, I went up to him and went man-to-man, and I apologized to him. And his partner was there, and she turned to me and said, "I know who you are. I've heard what you said." And I was like, "Well, this got awkward in a hurry.
Come on, people."
Totally. Rick Barry.
Yeah. You know, look, this doesn't get talked about a lot, and part of it is because they haven't won a championship. But have you seen, at least in the last generation here in the Bay Area, have you seen somebody rehab an image the way Jed York has?
He's getting there.
Pretty good.
Yeah, really good. But he's not all the way back yet.
No, but he's put his money where his whatever is. I don't even know, I want to say it's where his mouth is, because he doesn't talk a whole lot.
And that's been part of his rehab, is he stopped talking. He stopped talking, and he let the people he hired go out there and do the winning. And so Jed's done a very good job, and he's just missing that one last piece. And John Fisher is a classic example of why you stop being a fan of a team. Because of what he did to product.
Oh, gosh, for sure.
Even beyond leaving, what he's done since he took over, and he allowed the decrepit Coliseum to be decrepiter or more decrepit and all the rest of it, that's enough to make you not want to be a fan. And so if Johnny X doesn't want to be a fan because of Dr. John York, it's his prerogative.
Sure, and I'm not taking anybody's prerogative away from him. I don't really get it.
That was always his bit on the other station, Dr. John York, back when he was in charge, and it was always just hilarious. Anyway.
Let's do Rolando in Napa. Hey, Rolando, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I want to respond to Malone. It's the wife who owns the team.
Fair enough.
That's what Uncle Gary would say.
Exactly.
Fair enough. I want to talk about my Niners a little bit. I have a big feeling about this. We're going to win on Sunday. And mark my words, I have two predictions. One, Ricky Pearsall is going to score two touchdowns. He's going to go off on Sunday against the Chiefs.
Two touchdowns.
Oh, my God.
Two touchdowns. Okay. Put it in the books. Mark it down. Put it on tape.
Coo-coo.
And my second prediction, John Lynch always makes blockbuster trades. He's going to call the Raiders, and we can deal to bring Max Crosby over. Well, Max Crosby is going to the Niners. Mark my words. It's going to happen. We're going to have Bosa and Max Crosby on the same line. And NFL, watch out. We're coming for you.
It would be bananas. Rolando, thanks. I'm not going to rule it out. I will say that, like, the Raiders hold grudges, and there are certain teams with which they do not want to deal, and the 49ers are one of them. David Lombardi pointed this out. Don't forget, the Niners had a better offer for Khalil Mack than the Bears did. Where'd he end up?
The Bears.
Yeah, so, like, just keep that in mind. However, on the other hand, did you hear Max Crosby's comment yesterday? Did you hear what he said?
He wants to win.
Like, I'm not here for a rebuild. Wherever I am, I'm here to win. That was a very different answer than 10 days ago when he's like, I'm a Raider, and I'm here to be a Raider. Very different answer since the Devontae trade.
And this, for me, is a cautionary tale to all you youngsters out there who want to rush out and get tattoos, because he has a tattoo of the Raider logo on his body, and he may not be a Raider for life. Just when you want a tattoo, think twice and then think again before you rush on out there. Like, I love Odyssey.
He always wore the uniform, though. Like, he will always have a Raider past. So,
yes, yeah. I worked for Susquehanna. You don't see a Susquehanna tattoo on my butt cheek.
That doesn't fit on your finger. So,
my butt cheek.
It would fit on your butt cheek.
It'd be close.
Yeah, even after the weight loss thing, it would still fit.
That's fair. It's coming up.
We're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. 888-957-9570. Oh.
What, you forgetting something?
FTD. It used to be about flowers.
It's not.
Not anymore.
I like that.
Fade to Divers is next on Willard and Dibs.
You know, we already know what happened in overtime. They kicked the field goal, and they should have went down on the fourth down and scored a touchdown, and then you gave that little run to change to come back and win the game.
Mm.
Let's get that little guy and get him the hell out of here. Samaras should kick that little runt. I can't stand that little runt.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, I need more.
It's pretty good. I do, too.
Godfather, man. Kurt, straight out of Harlem. Gotta beat that runt.
There are so many movie quotes running through my head right now. My head is spinning. Oh, yeah. Poor YouTube. Well, not poor YouTube, because YouTube got a great performance out of Kurt. They got to hear something that nobody else got to hear.
That's true.
But now YouTube is not being treated to the fact that that classic old Italian red and white tablecloth pizzeria, that violin.
Oh, yeah.
That's what.
Get out of here with that.
The DiVincenzo.
Restaurant quality.
That's what's playing right now in the background.
And that is probably one of my favorite things about Mark Grandy, even though it's 5:49 on a Friday.
He's not mailing it in.
No.
No, he brought it.
Digging
he brought it
deep.
All the way to the end.
For a rejoin, yeah.
Get out of here with that. You kidding me?
You kidding me?
That runt. They gotta beat that runt.
Samaras should kick that little runt. I can't stand that little runt.
Look,
they shouldn't have kicked the field goal, and then that runt came down and scored a touchdown, and I said S. And boy, was I mad. That runt.
I would say that Kurt has won the week on this show if it hadn't been for the almost no-hitter that you've thrown this week.
It's been a good
on
week.
The show. It's been a good week for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll be thinking of both of you during this game this weekend. I'll be thinking of both of you, and I'll really be thinking of you a lot because we got a game this weekend.
Yeah.
We got a very, very small spread. It's a small number. It's the smallest of numbers that exists. There's only one. That's the number in the game this weekend.
1.5.
There's a hook.
All right, fine. Whatever. Same thing. We're not going to have any ties.
Well,
so
if the Chiefs lose by one, if you take the Chiefs, you win. Because it's 1.5. So there's that.
Get out of here with that!
Sorry about that. You little runt. Stop correcting me, you little runt. It's Willard and Dibs. Not Dibs and Willard, you runt.
As we get into the fourth quarter and one team's running one way and the other team's running the other way, I'm going to be thinking of you. And my hope, this is my hope. I don't know what's about to be said. I really don't. But my hope is that I get to send a text right after the game to the show thread that just says, fade the Dibbers.
It's time for
fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it, you make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
We've had no idea for weeks that group that gathered to say, hey, Dibs, your pick stink. We had no idea. That was the Warriors.
Yeah.
That was the Golden State Warriors. So very, very exciting. But we have arrived at that time. We've been waiting all week, ladies and gentlemen. The Chiefs and the 49ers at Levi's, and the Niners are favored by 1.5, and Dibs has the floor.
It's a tough one because you look at so many different factors, and you see a Chiefs team off a bye, fine. The Niners are coming off a mini bye. The Chiefs are undefeated, but they've been doing it with smoke and mirrors, and the Niners, heck, they should be 5-1, I've been told ad nauseum on this very program. And the thing that gets me most, Mark, is that all 49er fans are saying, Dibs, you better not pick the 49ers, because whatever I pick, I lose on.
The opposite happens.
You know what, 49er fans? I'm thinking about a middle finger pick just on principle alone. But I promised you one thing in this bit, Mark. I promised you one thing.
Please.
I promised you and Grandy and Lucas in absentia and Ken coming off a Mets win that I would pick based on what I actually thought would be the correct pick. I'm not going to get into fading myself, which would mean if you faded me, you actually would be going with my regular pick. And I don't want to get into all that inception nonsense. I look at a couple of things. Andy Reid is unbelievable off a bye. Steve Spagnuolo has had Kyle Shanahan's number, but Brock Purdy is amazeballs, and the emotions of Ricky Pearsall, and the Niners want this more than the Chiefs? I'm sorry, guys. I'm really sorry. I got to do it.
No.
You take the Chiefs and the 1.5.
Oh, God, thank God.
Kukoosh! Kukoosh! And I would do the Chiefs rallying cry just to bring it home, but it's so racist and offensive, I won't. I'm simply going to say this. I started the week thinking Chiefs, because I've talked a lot about rest differential, and they are a +3 in rest, which is a thing. It's not as big as next week when Dallas will be a +7, having 7 more days of rest than the Niners. And as the week went on, and I heard Salisbury earlier today,
mm-hmm. He picked the Niners.
Sean Salisbury saying, yeah, the Niners. And as I was listening to him, and he's an expert, and he knows more football than I'll ever forget, or whatever the expression is, I was thinking, you know what? Maybe it is the Niners after all. And then I stepped back and thought, you know what, Dibs? You stick to your guns, buddy. And I honestly think it's going to be a super close game. And when we have super close games, what do we know about Kyle Shanahan? He loses them.
They don't go great.
No. So
not all of them.
I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm taking the 1.5. Kukoosh. You're welcome, Niner fans. This on the heels of last night where, I mean, I had New Orleans and, like, I tuned into it for about two plays. Because whatever, you and I are, you know, making our way home, and I actually, yeah. I was the public address announcer for the Camp Lindo Girls Volleyball Senior Night.
Oh, how'd that go?
Went phenomenal.
Okay, great.
And I want to thank Elisa Carpenter and all the nice people at Campo for being so welcoming. And then I get home, and I put on the game, and I went, oh, God.
Ew.
And that's when I texted the group thread, and I said, you need to fade that blankety-blanker.
We did. Don't worry.
You know, I know, but I texted fade, and then you responded with fade. And then I said, you need to fade that effer. But I actually used the word because, my God, what was I thinking?
Your butt is like super saved if you come in here Monday morning and the Niners won by one. Your butt is saved.
That'd be a Dibber win, but then the fade would be a loss.
Right, but what's more important is the Niners winning. That's what I'm saying. That's, like, in theory, what you're rooting for. Because you do root for your picks to be right, right?
Of course.
All right.
No, and these picks, I actually put money on in my confidence pool. And I took the Chiefs pretty high.
But you want the 49ers to win.
Absolutely.
Okay. So
even though privately, from a radio show host standpoint, Niners losses are better for business than Niners wins are.
No, but that's...
And you know it's true.
No. Not if they just happen over and over and over and over again.
Well, that's true.
You don't want the Niners to go 4-12.
No, but a 3-4 hiccup against Kansas City.
Well, that's
this is a different one. Because
that's not a hiccup.
The Kansas City game is a standalone in its import, but yes. And I'm going to go ahead and say it now. Niners 24, Chiefs 23. There's your final.
Oh.
Niners win, but Kansas City covers the 1.5.
No, you're kind of contradicting yourself.
No, I took the Chiefs in the 1.5.
I know you did, but you were like,
what's wrong with you?
The rest advantage and Andy Reid off a bye and boopity boppity beep. The Chiefs are going to win.
Well, yeah, I think they will.
But now you just predicted that they won't.
Because I want to still have people not look for me in the streets.
You're a confusing character.
Take the Chiefs and the 1.5 kukoosh.
Let me say this.
You won't.
Say this to you once,
okay.
And I want it to be heard very clearly.
I've already checked out.
Get out of here, ah!
You little torp.
You little
runt.
Granny, what are you doing in 4 minutes?
We got something special tonight because we got preseason Warriors basketball
yes.
beginning at 7:30, and you will hear Warriors live with myself beginning at 6:30. Before then, though, we'll hear Baldy, who was on all 4 hours of
okay.
Bonte and Shasky.
Awesome.
So a full segment of Baldy, and then we'll get into Warriors basketball.
Okay, and Ken, congrats on your Mets. Don't ever come in here in anything but a uniform ever again. It
totally.
Doesn't work when you don't. So
get
please.
Get out of here.
Seriously.
You got it.
Okay, thank you. All right, that's all coming up in the game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Busy.
What about Sunday?
Golfing.
How about Monday?
I can't wait.
You're golfing on Sunday?
Early.
Okay, you better.
Early.
Don't do one of those 6-hour rounds.
No.
All right. Boy, here we go.
Let's go.
For Dibs, for Grandy, for Ken, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It is all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.